It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to 2 John, verse 7 and 8, and we'll continue with this analysis. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That for us is the marquee verse with regard to the second adjustment to God, establishing for the believer in time under God's grace the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, restoration of fellowship, the capacity to produce divine good, and last but not least, the ability to assimilate spiritual information under a variety of circumstances. Your responsibility is to establish the right mental attitude in our approach to the study of the Word of God. And only you can do that. This is the encouragement to do so, the exhortation to do so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we're here dedicated to that proposition. We thank you for all of the support that we receive, known, seen, observed, and unseen, so that we can continue to forge forward in these final times. Be with us in our study, in Jesus' name. Amen. John felt compelled to give the chosen lady and her children a heads up. And it's always a good thing to be reminded of that we are in a world where there are unscrupulous individuals who are promoting false doctrine. And this phenomenon for this dispensation took off big time, according to the prophecies that many false teachers would come along to upset the faith of the faithful. And it's no different today. Obviously, you can guard against these types by not exposing yourself to them unnecessarily, exercising caution with regard to the things you hear, and checking it off against what you've heard here in Bible class over the years. It is very important that you do this, because even the best of us potentially are vulnerable to the lies and the distortions that are in the world. This lady was fully adjusted, but he felt compelled to do so. Of course, the circumstances of their situation is somewhat different than ours. They were separated physically. John isn't able to be there on site and deal with things as they come up. But believers are still able to survive that situation should it exist. We have the advantage here of consistently having a pastor teacher who has integrity with regard to the content, even at a price, that he will teach you the whole counsel of God, and that he will add things as they come along, and whatever it takes to get the entire plan of God in its entirety before positive volition. Your part, of course, as always, is to be here and to be in fellowship and to make that always your priority. It's especially acute today with the position that we find ourselves in as we come to the end of this dispensation. That doctrine is before you, the timing, the situation with regard to the rapture. It's just a matter of hanging on spiritually. Now, of course, there are other things that can upset believers spiritually, obviously. Their own STAs, their own desire for things that are inappropriate, pursuing and loving the cosmos to the extent that it upsets their faith, their attendance, and their devotion to Bible doctrine. All this stuff out here is passing away. John said it. It's all passing away. It is temporal. The human race is going to learn this the hard way. We understand through doctrine that while things are nice and enjoyable, they aren't our priority. We will put God and His plan first, come what may. So, the admonition. Well, first, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those at the top of the list would be those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Now, there's more to that than just there was a historical Jesus. There are various religions that believe there was a historical Jesus, a prophet, or whatever, all the other things. But they do not acknowledge his uniqueness, and those doctrines that we have toiled over to get before you that are in those different categories in that summary point, in that analysis point. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. This is at the top of the list of the pernicious crowd. Those who deny the uniqueness of Christ as the God-man, coming, first advent, all the particular doctrines that we have, as I said, sought to set before you so you could have it straight in your thinking. It is very challenging, but it is very exciting to study the details with regard to the person of Christ, pre-incarnate, incarnate, glorified state, and so forth. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. This is always a good exhortation. You have to watch yourself. We are all vulnerable. We must keep our armor on. We must keep in prayer. It isn't just, as I said, false teachers that can upset our faith. Our own STAs can. And the desire for inappropriate things. Lots of things can do this. Not just being exposed to false teachers. But when people leave doctrine, I have noted, historically, they take in darkness. And what they have is distorted and taken away from them. That's scary. You don't want to go there. Back in the day, Theme taught it as you reject, and this was based on the ancient world, in Romans 1, the ancient world turned away from the living God and embracing idolatry. The evidence of God's person was before them in the creation itself. But they rejected that, and they opened up their mataiotes and sucked in darkness. And how great was that darkness? And so it is any time in human history. This darkness is great, and we are vulnerable to it. We must keep on our toes at all times, processing everything you inevitably hear and come across. A lot of it you dismiss out of hand, has no basis. Watch yourselves in point 14 as an admonition to the recipients. Matthew 24:4. Look up some scriptures here. This will get hot and heavy as we get closer to the day of the Lord, and in the day of the Lord, these characters will come out of the woodwork. All through the church age, we have been exposed to these kind of individuals. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it," that's our word here with regard to the blepo word, "that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name." And that'll throw people off, saying, "I am the Christ," and will mislead many. That's the prophecy. Many will fall into their camp. And then he talks about the general signs of the end. Wars and rumors of wars. We can't go hardly a day without hearing that. Wars and rumors of war with whoever. And these other signs. Mark 8:15. Another category. Two separate categories. He was giving orders to them saying, "Watch out." Okay, this was something immediate and in their face. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." That's one category. The Pharisee doctrine. Watch out for this. And the leaven of Herod. That's more like on a political side of things. Although it had certain religious overtones too. This was in 13:5. Same one in Mark that we had in Matthew, so I'll skip over that. Philippians 3:2. I was just looking up those. Sometimes people don't like me lambasting certain things, certain teachings, attitudes, and viewpoints. But that's what a communicator is supposed to do. None of the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, they didn't soft pedal this. They brought this into the open and they named names. And here's a good example of that. Beware of the dogs. I know you love your dog. This isn't the dog we're talking about. Beware of the dogs. Dogs tend to get a bad rap in the Bible, but we won't go there. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. The Jewish thing. And those Jews who became believers who fell back into this. So for the Philippians, it was a specific group. Colossians 2:8. The "see to it" and the "beware" are the same word. It's a command. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the cosmos, rather than according to Christ." And Hebrews 3:12. "Take care," now they translate it this way, "that there not be any one of you, in any one of you, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of the STA. Okay. Some, John says, have left the faith. Now, of course, all of them haven't left because they got taken in by false teachers. So I'm sure that there was some of that, as well as just the general reasons believers fall away. 1 John 2, there, verse 19. Now this one is one of those highlight verses. I'm not trying to put one verse above another, but at least for me, struck me the how he categorized those who were once on board and who've left. How does he characterize them? They went out from us, but they were really not of us, for if they'd been of us, they would have remained with us. See, that's the test for each of us. Are we going to be one of the ones that prove ourselves to be of us or not of us? And one day at a time in that regard. Leaving the faith, going off astray, however, they demonstrate they were of us, but now they're not of us. That's the point. I'm not saying that people left here weren't of us and sincere. They were very much so. But they went out so it would be shown that they are not all of us. Okay. The potential loss that John refers to in verse 8b here is one we are totally familiar with. And that's the one we talk about a lot. That you do not lose what we have accomplished. Now this comes within this context of false teachers. And I would say that many people who have gone astray from here have been taken in, ultimately, by false teachers. People that won't get them where they need to be spiritually. That you do not lose what we have accomplished is the quest for the ultimate category of SG3. Obviously, SG3 to the end is important, but this is the ultimate category, full reward. So we have another synonym for SG3, the prize rather, the crown. We have full reward. This is the one we are striving for. That SG3 realized, in other words, all the application you and I have made up to this point and established our rewards account, added to our rewards account, excuse me, we, therefore, have that secured. It is not vulnerable to anything. It's perfect and it's there, waiting for us. Can't do anything to undo that any more than you can do anything to undo your salvation. Your SG3's in the bag, so to speak, secure. Somebody taught different. Not here. That SG3 cannot be forfeited. See Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, and having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. This, of course, was in a context of general ministering to believers like we have to, as well as an environment where they were involved in pretty heavy-duty, constant, chronic persecution by their Jewish neighbors. And some of them went to jail. Some of them were imprisoned. And these believers hung in there with him. And he's telling them at this late date that their SG3 that they've done over the years in this regard is secure. God is faithful. A believer who goes into reversionism, who has produced SG3, God is faithful to give that believer the rewards they earned in his name. That's that simple. That's grace. God isn't that way going to withdraw your past applications if you were to abandon the quest for the full reward. So here again, we have this stuck in front of us, the full reward. I talk about rewards a lot. It's important. I serve God for other reasons, but I also serve Him for what He has promised to provide, the above and beyond blessings of the afterlife. And that's completely a pure and legitimate motivation. So, 20. In reference to the final evaluation of believers, see 1 John 2:28, his contributions to the topic of future reward in 2:28 of his letter. Now, little children, abide in him. You know what that is, don't you? Stay in fellowship. Keep maintaining the abide in him principle. Obviously, this is a command. This does not refer to staying in union with Christ, positional sanctification, because there's nothing we have to do to maintain that whatsoever. Nothing. That's a given. So that when he appears, rapture of the church, we may have confidence. Notice it's subjunctive. Whether we do or not depends on whether we stick with it to the end of our phase two, however that comes. We may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So we learn from this that it's not going to be a happy moment for a lot of believers. That moment of seeing them experiencing the loss of the full reward, it will not be a happy moment. This will be their last, as far as I can tell, really negative emotion towards themselves. Shame. And so shame will exist in a resurrection body for those who fall short. We don't want to go there. On the other side of the coin is the exuberance, almost uncontrolled exuberance, that will exist among those who get the full reward. They will be vociferous. They will be loud. They will celebrate. This is found in the Bible. It won't be just, well, thank you, and just kind of go on your way. No. It'll be like any celebration where people have succeeded in some struggle and come out victorious. We see it in athletics. We see the team that prevails and wins whatever it is, World Series, whatever, and how nuts they go. But that is a fading reward. After a couple parades and some mentions on TV, it begins to fade in the background. So today what they have to resort to because of all of this is playing old games on the sports deal. Gag me. This is awful. I don't want to watch this. That's what they've been reduced to. Anyway. And other stuff. The phrase that you do not lose what we have accomplished indicates a relationship between John and the recipients. We've accomplished something here. We have come to a certain level. Let's not lose that. Let's maintain. Avoid what those who were not of us did. Don't think you can't be vulnerable to that. Every category of believer has something that can be a drag on them spiritually. You have to analyze yourself. One thing to avoid that I've seen in people over the years is spiritual pride. Everybody pats you, tells you what a good person you are and all that you're great, and you may be. Don't let it go to your head. Don't get impressed. Impressed with God and His plan, what He's done in and through you. But don't get involved in spiritual pride. I even had a believer, a notable believer in this church, that was on the board, came and said, it's after class. I'm in my office, minding my own business. The door opens. The person says, you know what my big problem is? I don't think I want to know. He said pride. And then he added spiritual. And I didn't jump up and say, bingo, I've seen it in you. I said, well, you need to work with that. Because it was always a lot of, and this person was a good person, made a lot of applications, and was very supportive. So I have to recognize that part. But also recognize the part that they tended to have the holier-than-thou attitude over other members of the royal family around here. It's not appropriate. Do not think too highly of yourself. Don't get impressed with yourself. I'm impressed with God and His plan that He's got me this far. That amazes me that I have survived in spite of people, in spite of myself, in spite of whatever. I have survived to this point. It's one more day, one more opportunity, this side of phase three, to remind you what's important. Put it all in front of you. There's things you have to endure in order for you personally in your niche to make it. Things that are unpleasant, things that aren't, you know, exactly like you want them. There's things aren't exactly like I want, but I accept that. I try to accept the fact they are what they are, and this is where I'm at with regard to my time as a believer. With regard to you can get upset because your health isn't what it once was. Well, what do you think? You're going to be somebody special? That your health's going to stay the same and perfect all the way through? That you don't have the same energy level you once had? Come on. That's for youth. You have to accept these CHPs and move forward and keep your eyes on the fact that pretty soon you're going to get a perfect body. And we won't have any discussion about aches and pains, old age, death, and all the rest of it. It will not, in that way, be in our vocabulary. Thank God. Okay, moving on. Oh, I didn't get all this here. The verb accomplished. Here, this is the aorist indicative for the word, like you would say, I got work to do. I'm going to go work at whatever it is you work at. As in John 6:27, Jesus says, do not labor for the food. I got that wrong. I can't be right. I went and typed one in. I guess I got it wrong. Okay. Forgive me. See what I got here. That didn't sound right at all. Do not work for the food which perishes. Well, I kind of left that out, didn't I? Left out half of it. Do not work for the food which perishes. Does that mean we're not supposed to go to work and get a paycheck so we can go to the grocery store? No. Context indicates, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. And that's spiritual food. Make that your priority. That's what this is about. It's making that a priority. Yes, we need the physical food or we die. And we ought to work honorably to gain the resources monetarily to purchase that food. But probably after the second session, you're going to run out and get something to eat. Somewhere. Home. Some restaurant. An observation and a caution. And again, as always, with John and the way he presents things, you have to be real careful. I can, as I said in the first John and elsewhere, you could really hang yourself with this epistle. You could have any number of false doctrines wrapped up and used and cite verses in 1 John. So, anyone who goes too far. Anyone is the adjective pas, all, anyone. The word goes too far. Present active participle with a definite article, proago. Proago means like if you said to someone, We're going to do this. Well, you go ahead. You go ahead. In this case, goes too far. And negative may does not abide. Present participle, minnow. Here we have minnow again for the umpteenth time. And we have it as abide in the teaching of Christ, which would be some form of reversionism, walking aside from it, as we've seen over and over and over. Does not abide in the dake, the teaching of Christ. Does not have God. The negative uke does not have God. They have cut themselves off from a viable relationship with God. This has nothing to do with loss of salvation. They do not have God actively in their life. Whatever games they're playing, He isn't in that if they go too far and abandon and do not abide in the teaching of Christ. The one who abides, on the other hand, in the teaching, maintaining the doctrine, meno again, present participle, in the teaching, he doesn't say of Christ because we know what that is, he has both the Father and the Son. Has is the present active indicative, linear action, keeps on having the Father and the Son. A viable relationship with these two members of the Godhead is dependent upon abiding in the teaching. It's quite elementary. It's very elementary. If one of us decided, I've had it, I'm finished, I'm not going to exercise the self-discipline and the sacrifice and whatever it takes to come to my local church and learn and grow, and I'm just going to go out here and move to South Dakota. I don't know. Wherever they're going. They just had it. So they're going to go somewhere else. Maybe I read about these people. They think really horrible times are coming, and they are, but we have a context. And so they find some remote place to go hide out in. One guy's given economic advice out of some remote spot. He's located in Argentina. Got to get away from it all and get out here in this nice little place in Argentina and spout his economic advice to people. If you leave doctrine, you don't have God. What I'm trying to say is, if I decided I've had it. And now, yeah, you can repent. You can get in reversion recovery. But then you're abiding back in the teaching, aren't you? You're rebounding and you're judging yourself and you're repenting and you're making the moves to get back. We've seen example after example of that. For instance, in the Psalms, we got a whole psalm, a monster psalm that has that as its background, Psalm 119. It's quite a testimony, using each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet to make a stanza of this song. He went off and came back full throttle. We're talking about staying away. You don't have God. Not in the way you have God now. And another place in Hebrews, at the end of Hebrews, it says, my soul takes no pleasure in him. The one who, not just daily failing in some sin, however big or little it is, where you have rebound and people pull themselves back in line. We do that all the time with rebound. But that's abiding in the teaching. And then another word of advice. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching. Well, he's so narrow-minded, isn't he? I'm being sarcastic, trying to. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching. And there's a lot more to it than what's found in this little epistle. She knows because he loves her in the truth. They're about the truth. And it's a body of doctrine involving all these different things potentially that you can find in your Bible. And that's a lot of information. If anyone comes to you, all right, what do we have here? We have a particle, if anyone comes. This is not if maybe they will, maybe they won't. It is they will. If anyone comes to you. See, this is viewing the situation from her perspective. And you refers to her and her siblings. Because the word you, the pronoun, is a plural. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, present, active, indicative. See, this goes back to there's all these false teachers running around out there. Now, they didn't have any of the electronic media to communicate their message like today. They went door to door. House to house, church to church, peddling their stuff. And does not bring, that's Pharaoh, bear, bring, this teaching, didache. Do not receive him into your house. Do not receive that person into your house. This is not the basis for showing anybody hospitality. Don't let him in. Don't let that person or persons in. They might be disarming. Of course, they're going to be smiling. It might be a husband and a wife with a little kid in hand. See? The image. Nice people. Saying nice stuff. They're not going to be going for the jugular right off. But they will soon get to what they're peddling, what they're pushing. That's the point. He's seeking to protect his friend, the chosen lady. Don't feel because you're a Christian that you have to show charity to people like this. They may even have legitimate physical needs. Travelers in the ancient world needing a place to lodge, some food, things like that. He is telling him to be very discerning. This would be a category that you would turn away. Not that you probably have this issue, you're dealing with it. It's just to help us to realize that these are unsavory types. Under the law of Moses, if you were convicted of being a false prophet, they stoned you to death for misleading the people. This was a high crime right up there with those other capital punishment crimes. Pretending to speak in the name of Yahweh and you're a liar. Well, that's the same kind of people you have in the world today. Throwing the word Jesus around. And the rest of it. So, I guess God gives this to us so we can, in case there's some chance you think you can bring this person into your house and show them hospitality. Maybe you've done it in the past. Okay, it isn't the end of the world. It's just now to realize that you have no obligation. Maybe it's someone you are very familiar with from the past who comes around. They do not have this teaching. Now you will sit there and you will ask yourself in your own mind, which you should, to what degree do we go? Do they have to cross every T and dot every I like we do? No. But there are some basic fundamental things they need to have in place. We could debate it all day. Do you let a hardcore Calvinist come in and show them hospitality? Committed to this idea that God just picked certain of us to be saved and to hell with the rest of us literally? That he did that? That a theologian of his stature, John Calvin, promoted this idea under this acrostic called TULIP? The T is for total depravity. Okay, everybody's depraved. We got that. But it's where they take it too far. Martin Luther, the reformer, he took it to mean that your volition was in bondage to your sin nature and you couldn't make a positive decision and believe the gospel until that was unlocked somehow. What? I'm out of fellowship. I know how to use rebound. My STA doesn't just get me where I can't operate my volition. Crazy. So would you... The U, it's probably okay. It's probably the one in the whole thing that's okay. Unconditional grace. Okay, fine. Got that one. Then we go to L. Limited atonement. That's back to what I said. Christ only died for certain people. And provided, and they're going to get saved no matter what. Unlike our doctrine, which says God anticipated who would believe and made them the elect or predestined them. That's our doctrine. It's my doctrine. So that's limited atonement. That one's false. And then there's I in TULIP. Irresistible grace. Once you come under the Holy Spirit, you can't resist the Holy Spirit. And yet we see in Acts, they resisted the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't matter to these people. And then the other last dummy one, P. Perseverance of the saints. All genuine believers will pan out. Really? And we just saw a verse about shame at the Bema. Perseverance means, yes, you may go astray. You may drift out here into whatever'sville and get involved in sinful and indifferent behavior to the plan. But you'll always come back. That is one of the hallmarks of what is called the Reformation as typified in the church age by the Sardian church. You have a reputation that you're alive, but you are dead in the water. And called that local church back in line. So I would suspect in the case of the Sardian church, a church that got no commendation whatsoever from Jesus Christ, I know that was the fault primarily of their spiritual leader. But there were some in the church that didn't buy the junk. And yet the Lord said, I know who they are. Isn't it interesting, these lessons? They didn't cut and run. Because false concepts, this stuff like Calvinism and so forth, can be presented in such a way that seems they're so Christian, they're so nice, they're blah, 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 blah. I had my best friend back in Bible school. He fell into this mess. Covenant theology. Went got his degree up in some school back in St. Louis. And now he promotes lordship salvation. He has a book he sells. You got to make Jesus Lord to be saved. See? Jesus is Lord whether you make him Lord or not. You made him Lord when you believed in him. Now, if you don't follow his dictates as a believer, which none of us do all the time, he's still Lord. It's just silly stuff. But what's worse, it's false. It produces a false spirituality and a false sense of salvation. So much for that. Do not receive him into your house. You have the negative may, present imperative, it's an order. Do not receive him into your house. Oikia. Oikia refers to your home, your residence. Doesn't refer to a church. Do not receive him into your house. Again, back in the day, there were Christians, legitimate. We'll get this in the third John. There were legitimate Christians traveling around. There was a different environment than we have today, at least in this country. a different environment where people were on the road traveling, walking, maybe riding an animal or in a cart, but they were travelers. And there were, as we get in the next letter, there were legitimate believers out there, sent by God. And then there was these other types. And she might have been a woman who had shown hospitality to like-minded believers. And notice I said like-minded within reason. So the individual, what the individual has to do is just pray about it, and God would make it clear to them, this is someone that we've had to around here who came on the property. I remember one of my deacons back when I was out here. I don't know what we're doing. Some clown shows up with a line of stuff and everything. And the deacon says, "You just need to keep going where you were headed. Turn right around and hit the road." The guy did. Because he wasn't just somebody that was panhandling or somebody needed $20. There was more to him than that. He was corrupt. Fortunately, I've minimized, I've had to deal with these people, those kinds. Now, occasionally you can have somebody like that come around. We'll deal with them when they do. God will show us the way. The ones on the phone, I just, bye-bye, not interested in you. And we'll get to this right after our break. You don't even give them, "Well, God bless." People throw that around all the time, and they're doing it to some of the worst people around. They say all the time they're saying it. I know they're just doing the thing. But that blessing, in the Old Testament, when they bestowed this blessing, this wasn't just some words that came out of somebody's mouth. It had to fit the situation, or it's a false blessing bestowed by somebody. Okay, we'll pick this up after our break. Have your cup of coffee, your fellowship.